psalmist writes these words. It is what I call the psalm for times of transition. Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will watch over. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This passage from Scripture I almost always read at weddings, funerals, baptisms, times where people are experiencing a movement from one place to another in a variety of ways. I finished my work at Tech early this week, done with all my grading on Monday morning. And then on Wednesday afternoon, realized I'd made a mistake and had to go back to the office to fix something. In the course of doing that, I walked past a very large lecture hall, out of which were streaming students who've just finished, apparently, perhaps even their last final exam. And I noticed on the floor a piece of notebook paper that had obviously been part of someone's study guide to that point. And it wasn't the only piece of notebook paper on the floor, and they looked like chemistry equations on it. There was a piece of paper here and there, and then I looked down the hall, and strewn over about 50 feet were pages of notebook paper, apparently. It looked for all the world like somebody had taken a loose-leaf notebook in one hand and flung it down the hall. And I thought, somebody just finished college. For better or worse. We have transitions that we plan for and we celebrate, graduations. This is the first summer in some time where I haven't had a wedding on the books, but that happens with relative frequency, and we look forward to that, and we plan them, and we experience the joy of going from this point to the next as a way of social and spiritual growth. We also have transitions that hit us, that blindside us. Somebody finds the secret cell phone or decodes the text message, and a relationship comes apart. Illness strikes, a long and lingering, perhaps terminal illness, or even a death that comes suddenly and from nowhere, creating the need for transition, which is sometimes a struggle. And we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. And we hear the Lord will watch over our going out and our coming in. Well, how does that happen? The image that ties these thoughts together is the idea that God guides our hands. God guides our hands as we go out and as we come in. One of the most emotionally evocative memories I have, seventh grade. And Katie Klein was the cutest eighth grader in the whole church. Actually, she was the cutest eighth grader on the planet, from my point of view. And in the course of some event we were having at youth group, Katie Klein took my hand and held it. Now, other people had held my hand to that point, crossing the street and so on. But this was hand-holding for real. And I will never forget the experience. If I was holding Katie Klein's hand, I swore I could leap tall buildings in a single bound. I could go through that wall. We know this feeling, do we not? When Lee Williams was married now over 10 years ago, I was the assisting minister at a wonderful celebration in Dallas. And the wedding prayer that the presiding minister used for that occasion is one that I have stolen and used at every wedding of which I've been a part since, including my own, largely because of one phrase at the very end of the wedding prayer. And imagine now an entire congregation of family and friends offering in prayer this sentiment for the couple about to be married. The prayer is that God will watch over them and guide them. And may it be, the prayer says, that at each day's end, they may be found as they are now, hand in hand, thanking you for each other. Hand in hand, thanking you for each other. It's a powerful emotion to be connected in the holding of hands. And whether we are connected in that way to a spouse, a lover, a partner, a friend, a child, a parent. we really can get through it. Maybe even waltz through it, find joy in the midst of it, as God watches over our going out and our coming in, by guiding our hands, the hands that we hold in thanks. I got an email forward this week, one that I actually paid attention to. I don't always, and we get lots of these. But actually, this came from someone who doesn't typically send me one of these. And it's a sentiment that goes to the heart of what we're talking about today. It's entitled simply, Grandma's Hands. And I'll simply let it speak for itself. Grandma, some 90-plus years, sat feebly on the patio bench. She didn't move, just sat with her head down, staring at her hands. When I sat down beside her, she didn't acknowledge my presence, and the longer I sat, I wondered if she was okay. Finally, not really wanting to disturb her, but wanting to check on her at the same time, I asked if she was okay. She raised her head and looked at me and smiled. "Yes, I'm fine. Thank you for asking," she said in a clear, strong voice. "Didn't mean to disturb you, Grandma, but you were just sitting here staring at your hands, and I wanted to make sure you were okay," I explained. "Have you ever looked at your hands?" she asked. "I mean, really looked at your hands." I slowly opened mine and stared down at them. I turned them over, palms up, palms down. No, I guess I never really had looked at my hands as I tried to figure out the point she was making. She smiled and related this story. "Stop and think for a moment about the hands you have, how they've served you well throughout the years. These hands, though wrinkled, shriveled, and weak, have been the tools I've used all my life to reach out and grab and embrace life. They braced and caught my fall when, as a toddler, I crashed on the floor. They put food in my mouth and clothes on my back. As a child, my mother taught me to fold them in prayer. They tied my shoes and pulled on my boots. They held my husband and wiped my tears when he went off to war. They've been dirty, scraped, raw, swollen, and bent. They were uneasy and clumsy when I tried to hold my newborn son. Decorated with my wedding band, they showed the world that I was married and loved someone special. They wrote my letters to him and trembled and shook when I buried my parents and spouse. They've held my children and grandchildren, consoled neighbors, and shook in fists of anger when I didn't understand. They've covered my face, combed my hair, and washed and cleansed the rest of my body. They've been sticky and wet, bent and broken, dried and raw. And to this day, when not much of anything else of me works real well, these hands hold me up, lay me down, and again continue to fold in prayer. These hands are the mark of where I've been and the ruggedness of my life. But more importantly, it will be these hands that God will reach out and take when he leads me home. And with my hands, he will lift me to his side. And there I will use these hands to touch the face of God. In the meantime, through our going out and our coming in, these hands that touch the faces of one another, touch the face of what God has given us to see us through. Members of our family, dear and close friends, people in our church, teachers and mentors, will watch over us and see us through our going out and our coming in. God guides our hands to that purpose and to that effect. I recall a lesson I learned in pastoral care when being trained as a hospital chaplain many years ago. It's almost a trick, in a sense. It's an emotional point of contact that we were taught to try to engage strategically. Chaplains and pastors who visit people in hospitals are really the only ones that are called to pray, and we typically do this. And we were taught that if it's at all possible, and to do so without injuring the person who's in the hospital, to, when you pray and take their hand, to hold the hand that has the IV needle in it. In other words, to gently touch and accept and care for, in a very literal way, the hand that has been wounded, and by extension offer in prayer God's presence for all of the woundedness in our lives, to hold the hand that was wounded. A powerful metaphor for when the day comes, when his hand reaches to ours and brings us home, he will use to draw us close the hand that was wounded for us and on our behalf, and which still guides our hands as we go out and as we come in. And the Lord will keep us in our transitions from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.